This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Jake Shimabukuro. This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome by phone Jake Shimabukuro and calling us from Hawaii today. How are you doing?
Aloha, John. Thank you for having me on your program.
Aloha to you too as well. It's great to get a chance to talk to you. A lot of our listeners, I'm sure, will be familiar with Jake's work as an incredible virtuoso on what I was going to call the ukulele, but as I was looking back through some of your interviews, I remember that you pronounced it ukulele. So I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I'm thinking back to the first exposure that I had to your work, I believe was an article in Acoustic Guitar Magazine years ago. And I'm sure that the instrument has grown in popularity since then and was probably doing so before then. But I know that you've had a lot to do with it. So I guess where I wanted to start in terms of the interview was looking back through some of the other conversations you've had in terms of the how you came to the instrument. And I love this quote. I fell in love with the limitations of the instrument. And I suppose every instrument has some limitations. But some folks would say, well, there's quite a few on that one that you play, but that's really what brought you to it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I guess, you know, the ukulele only has four strings and two octaves, you know, but if you take the trumpet, for example, you know, the trumpet or the saxophone can only play one note at a time. You know, to me, that's a huge limitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the piano, you know, the piano, you can't travel with it easily. You can't take it with you everywhere, you know. So that's another limitation. It's the limitations of instruments that makes it unique. It makes it beautiful. So Once I accepted that and embraced that, you know, about the ukulele, then things really started to open up for me. You know, I wasn't so fixated on, oh man, I don't have that note, or oh, this, you know, I don't have that note, or oh, I can't play that extra note in this chord because I don't have enough strings or whatever. You know, it wasn't about that. It was just like, hey, just work with what you have and do it the best that, you know, make it sound the best that you can. And just by doing that, you're already creating something unique. You know, you're already doing something that a guitar player wouldn't be able to do, you know, or a violinist wouldn't be able to do. But, you know, so I think once you embrace those unusual characteristics of your instrument and its limitations, you know, you can really start to cash in on the beauty and the uniqueness of it.
Jake, can you tell me, I'm trying to remember if the instrument was a part of your household growing up, if that was a big part of what inspired you as well?
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in Hawaii, so, you know, growing up in the islands, the ukulele is very popular. I mean, even in elementary school, everyone learns how to play the ukulele. I think it was in the fourth or the fifth grade. You know, we all learned how to play the instrument. I mean, it's like, I guess it would be, you know, like hearing a banjo, hearing someone play the banjo in Nashville or something, mm-hmm. you know, or the fiddle. I mean, it's kind of like that. When I was in high school, it was cool to play the ukulele. You know, it's a big part of the culture. So even my parents both played the ukulele. So when I was 4 years old, my mom sat me down and put the ukulele in my hands and taught me my first three chords. And I just fell in love with the instrument and I haven't put it down since.
Thank you.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today by phone with Jake Shimabukuro. Well, one of the things that strikes me is, and I suppose this is similar to violin or mandolin, that there's an inherent tension in the intervals due to the range of the instrument that brings out melodies. And, you know, one of the things that you obviously are known for is taking very familiar melodies and rearranging them in such a way to make them very unique to yourself. And so, it seems like that brings a special kind of, those tensions can bring a special kind of magic to, you know, even very, very familiar melodies.
You know, I love melody. I mean, because it's like when you hear a song and it moves you, I mean, you walk away humming that melody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get so caught up in the, you know, the chords that are played behind it. You know, like for my parents who listen to music, if there's a really pretty melody or something that's catchy or that speaks to them, you know, they walk away humming that melody, you know, for years and years and years. I think that's what's so great about the ukulele, is because you have less tools to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you, if you focus on the melody, you can't really do much more at the same time. I mean, of course, if you're overdubbing, you have a looper, you're multi-tracking, yeah, whatever, you can do that. But you don't get caught, I think, so wrapped up in all the other complexities.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it forces you to think simple. And for me, I started out playing traditional Hawaiian music. And what makes Hawaiian music, traditional music, very special and beautiful, it's the feel. You know, the melodies are very simple. In fact, even the structure of traditional songs, there's no chorus, there's no bridge. It's basically just verse, 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 verse. And the reason for that is because there's no written language, you know, it was only a spoken language. So the way that they would preserve their history and the stories were all in songs. And so the songs were basically just verses that told the stories, you know,
mm-hmm.
The kings and the people and the land and all of that. So, you know, but what really makes it what it is, it's the feel, you know, and it's like people that have played bebop their entire life. When Louis Armstrong picks up his trumpet, you know, and he can play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and you're like, that's so jazz, you know?
Mm-hmm, right.
It's that kind of thing, you know. And I think that because that was my roots, you know, growing up, that kind of music. Like, I don't get bored with simple harmonies. Like, I know some musicians, you know, who can't play just a straight C chord for more than two measures. You know, they get so bored. But for me, I can play it for 2 hours and I can be happy.
Thank you. Jake, I wanted to touch just a little bit on the whole YouTube story. And I know there's at least 13 million, close to 14 million people who know this story because they've clicked on the video on YouTube, your version of Still My Guitar Gently Weeps. And I don't think I really realized how much that impacted your career. I wanted to touch a little bit on that story and also the importance to you of it being that particular song with which this whole experience happened.
Yeah, the YouTube thing was a real blessing for me, because prior to that Central Park video going viral, I was mainly playing in Hawaii, and I was also touring in Japan, because Japan and Hawaii, they have a very close relationship, and in Japan, Hawaiian culture is very popular. So the ukulele is very popular, hula dancing is very popular. But when the YouTube video went viral, it kind of exposed a lot of what I do, to people outside of Hawaii and Japan. I think what it was is it got passed around a lot in different musician circles, mm-hmm. So, and I think that's what opened a lot of doors, because that led to touring with other artists. So right off the bat, I had opportunities to tour with Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefers, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, people like John Hyatt and Ziggy Marley, Yo-Yo Ma, Bette Midler, Cyndi Lauper. I mean, all these people that, I never thought I would even get to meet them, mm-hmm. or go to one of their concerts and watch them perform live, So never in my wildest dream, did I ever think that any of those things would happen. And now I have more opportunities to travel to cool places and meet amazing musicians and amazing people. And all of this, I tell people that all of this is just like, it's a learning experience for me. I'm a lifelong student of music. And I think for any musician, there comes a point when you realize it's not just about sitting with your instrument and practicing, but it's about having new experiences, mm-hmm. traveling and putting yourself in different situations and environments that help you to develop, your creativity.
Jake, when you rattle off the different people that you've collaborated with, it strikes me that that's a tremendous variety of musicians. The Bela Fleck and Yo-Yo Ma's, I think that doesn't surprise me as much because of your virtuosity on your instrument. But then you throw in, Bette Midler and Cyndi Lauper and Jimmy Buffett. I think that speaks to, again, I think that speaks to your ability to bring out melody, because it seems like those folks are known for their singers, and they're known for their singing or their songs in Jimmy Buffett's case. And I wanted to go back though to Still My Guitar Gently Weeps, not so much the video, but the song itself. Obviously you are inspired by guitarists and songwriters like George Harrison.
Oh yeah. I mean, George Harrison was a big fan of the ukulele. I mean, he loved ukulele. That guy, I think he owned 100 times more ukuleles than me.
Really? I didn't know that.
Not that I have a lot of ukuleles, but he loved the instrument. He traveled with it everywhere, and he would, he was one of the ambassadors of the instrument. So I was always a big fan of George Harrison, because I the songs that he wrote, things like Here Comes the Sun, Old Sweet Lord, Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, like all of those songs work so well on the ukulele. And I always wondered, I wish that I had the opportunity to ask him, because I've always wanted to ask him, like, if he got his ideas for melody, for his melody or for, or even just the harmonies of the songs. Like, I always wondered if a lot of it came from the ukulele. Mm. And unfortunately, I guess we'll never know. But, but that's why for me, in the beginning, I told people, because George Harrison was such an ambassador of the ukulele, he wanted everyone to play the ukulele.
Hmm.
And so I was, I, tell people that, wow, man, when I covered Islam, My Guitar Gently Weeps, and went on YouTube, I was like, oh, man, you know, George Harrison must have been, you know, from above. He probably took that video and made everyone watch it.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today by phone with Jake Shimabukuro. Jake is joining us from Hawaii. Now, I'm just saying Hawaii as if it's just one place. Where are you specifically?
I'm in Honolulu. I live about basically like 2 minutes away from Diamond Head and 5 minutes away from Waikiki.
All right. I have been there. I was a very, very young boy at the time, but it left a very, very vivid impression on me. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. JakeShimabukuro.com is the name of the website where you can find out more about what Jake is doing besides parking his car and joining us by cell phone from Honolulu. What a treat. It's been a pleasure talking shop with you, and look forward to getting a chance to maybe speaking with you again down the road. Thanks so much for making time to be on the show.
Oh, John, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Jake Shimabukuro. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.